I grew up on what I would call a hobby farm. A few acres, the ability to raise a few beef cattle. My brother and I, at one point in junior high, ventured out into raising a few calves as well. But always having a garden, a large garden as well. But I did grow up with stories from the farm. My dad grew up in a rural farm in Indiana, a dairy, and so I remember enjoying him share stories of growing up on the farm with not one, but two barns that burned and that had to be rebuilt, mice in the corn bin and all the cats to take care of them, and the food, the amount of food that a working family of 12 had to eat, for he was one of 10 children. I married into a family who grew up on a farm, and so I have heard stories of their years together on a potato and dairy farm in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, and both sets of their grandparents were also farmers. And I should note that my dad's parents, both grew up on Amish farms. But today, or over the years, of my dad's 9 siblings, only 2 ended up farming until they retired. And as I'm aware of now, 2 of my cousins continue farming. Of John's 5 siblings, 1 farmed until about 10 years ago, meaning that nobody in his immediate family now are actively farming. And Joe had us do this already, but I'm going to have us do it again, and I want you to keep your hands up. It happened for me way too fast before. I didn't get a snapshot of everybody, but I'd like to take some time for each of you to look around. So I'm curious as to how many of you grew up on farms. Raise your hand and just take a look around. Okay. How many of you are actively farming today? Okay. All right. And I'm also curious here, as far as our knowledge of farming, yes, we are not actively farming, but how many of you grew up either on farms or hearing stories of a farm of 2 or 3 generations ago? Okay. So that gives us an idea of maybe how far removed or how close, depending on how you're looking at it, we are to farming. Farming is a backbone in many of our communities, mostly rural, and naturally so, because farming needs land. But farmers form a network for one another that help each other out and build relationships and resources that create a community. Christina Harmon, one of our own, grew up on a dairy farm not far from here, and she still lives on the farm where her family operates. And she can testify to the sense of community and taking care of one another. For she shared with me, when her uncle had a fall and broke his ankle, the farmers surrounding them that knew of this offered time and resources to them to help bridge the gap of labor. But within farming communities, they're also feeling that these gaps are getting wider and and harder to fill. The stresses of making ends meet, their colleagues that are going out of business, picking up second jobs, and family strain are great. Our passage in Deuteronomy speaks of a vision of what the Israelites will move into when they cross into the promised land. A land flowing of streams and springs, wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive trees and honey. Of the land that has resources and food available without scarcity. I can only imagine how this was heard from a people who had been relying on manna and quail day after day and only having enough for that day's sustenance. Having lived that way for decades, and some knowing nothing other, and only hearing the stories of how it used to be. They were moving into a land of bounty, where they would have plenty for today and tomorrow. Wealth was measured by nature's bounty. They were instructed to give thanks, remembering where they had come from. I can identify with this sense of wealth that comes from nature's bounty. Storing and preserving food has always been a part of my awareness. I feel privileged to have grown up in a family that passed on the tradition of canning and freezing the garden's yield. I do have memories of being a young child sitting on the front porch swing at our house, shelling peas, or out in the garden picking beans, or shucking corn, turning the food mill crank to make applesauce. Now, at the time, I did not consider this as a positive character-building experience or a part of my education. But I value now, as I look back, the skills and the memories that I hold dear. These are traditions and life skills I value and I practice today. So when we get to this time of year, I do get a sense of fulfillment at looking at the shelves of filled jars within its colorful array and the full freezer, anticipating the winter to come. But this sense of bounty or wealth spoken of in Deuteronomy is not our predominant view of wealth today. Wealth in our present age has been defined differently than our agrarian history. The American dream has come to value the dollar to buy as much as we possibly can, seeking commodities that can be bought at the cheapest price possible. As a result, farming has been affected. Local farms, smaller farms, are getting squeezed out by consumers demanding cheaper produce and meats that are shipped from hundreds and thousands of miles away. We have become immune to seasonal produce, demanding that we have all vegetables and fruits available year-round. We have lost a sense of eating with the seasons and eating though seasonally, locally. Now, I do confess that I have grown to really appreciate having avocados year-round, whereas growing up, I don't remember the first time I had an avocado, but it is a very tasty, rich food, but it is not grown here, ever. So this way of consuming is actually depleting our resources instead of making them sustainable. Now, I can get overwhelmed, and perhaps you're feeling a little overwhelmed here too, and it can be discouraging. But where are the signs of hope for farming, for our food sources around us? And I do see some, and you may have more to add. But I'll highlight a few that I see. So I see change happening in local communities, making the profession of farming a livable wage. And a few of those areas in Harrisonburg and across the country are the growing awareness and use of a program called Community Supported Agriculture, or a CSA, as some of you may know it. A program in which farmers sell produce subscriptions to local patrons who then receive produce weekly for the growing season. The local farmers market here, and I was actively involved in one back in Pennsylvania, and there are a whole host and growing of local farmers markets that make local farm-to-table produce available. Vine and Fig, Community Gardens, and Willow Run, a farm supplying our neighborhood retirement community with fresh produce, are all examples of initiatives that support small farms in this area. And there are a significant number of people here and otherwise that may have a garden or some animals, or simple potted plants that produce herbs or a plant on a windowsill or on a deck. When we are intentional about the farms in which our food comes, we are speaking into the agricultural system around us, and that's where I find hope. When we consider what is sustaining the farms, we consider what sustains the earth. When we consider what sustains the earth, we consider what sustains us. And herein lies our relationship with God and one another. The wealth of this web of relationship is not of this world, but it is the wealth that will sustain us. In Mark, we hear Jesus speak of the kingdom of God being like a seed that is scattered, sprouts, produces, and is harvested. This account parallels Matthew's writing of Jesus sharing the parable of the good sower. I find it fascinating, though, that it is assumed in both of these accounts that the seed's life is impacted by the kind of soil that it falls upon. Now, if we consider the original audience that would have been hearing these teachings, they would have been part of an agrarian society that lived with the rhythm of the land. And so we don't hear these passages speaking specifically to farming, but rather the results of farming as the sower. They would have been taught from early on about what makes the seed grow and the importance of the soil. So good soil is, as we heard during the children's time, made up of many things. Half the weight of organic material, such as worms, beetles, microscopic fungi, molds, ants, millipedes, mites, and bacteria. Now, as I mention these, some of you might be getting a little squirmy and think, gross, that's in my dirt, that's in my soil. Some of you might be thinking, fun, I'd like to go out and dig. Heather Dean and Tom Benevento, both food justice activists and authors, write it this way, that all of these creatures dance in a complex rhythm of consumption and excretion, life and death. And though this dance usually goes unnoticed in the human world, our lives depend on it. I love this imagery of the dance. Our soil dancing. Who would have imagined that? Soil is biodiverse, providing a balance of organic matter that holds moisture, but also drains, feeds the seed, while also fighting off pests and disease, and holds its form, but can also be shaped by what is around it. In this environment, a seed can sprout, grow, and be harvested, as we've heard in Mark. Or like the mustard seed, can provide shade or a home for another part of our creation. Our lives and the lives of many of God's creatures depend on this dance to sustain life. Contrary to this picture, present-day farms are placed under great pressure to provide high yields for maximum profit at the expense of healthy soil. Wendell Berry, farmer and author, wrote, "Industrial agriculture built according to the single standard of productivity has dealt with nature, including human nature, in the manner of a monologist or an orator. In other words, farming has been shaped within the last 50 years by one telling of how agriculture needs to be raised, valuing quantity over quality, monocropping over crop rotation, and short-term gain over long-term sustainability. This telling of the farming story does not take into consideration the practices that would preserve the land, value its fertility and ecological health for generations of farming." Yesterday, I was down at my brother and sister-in-law's farm in Waynesboro, where they're transitioning to running the Wenger Grape Farm, I believe, for the fourth generation. I happened to run into my sister-in-law's mom, and I talked with her for a bit about her experience growing up and living on a farm her whole life. She grew up on a chicken farm north of here in Broadway and married into the vineyard farming. She highlighted that for her, growing up near the land has allowed her to know herself and God more fully. There is something about working intimately with creation that we learn about ourselves and God. Have you ever planted something, a vegetable? Could be houseplant, flowers. If you have, I can guarantee you, you paid more attention to it. Whether it was a success is irrelevant. You paid attention. We learn from planting and observing. Whether it might be figurative talk about planting seeds of faith, or planting seeds in soil. I believe we have something to learn from this image Jesus using of casting seeds. That learning will take some time of reflection, of observation, and contemplation. I'm challenged by our agrarian-laced scriptures and the applications that may apply for our earth and our souls as we consider the church as a place for planting seeds of faith in God. And so some of these questions are what I live with, and I invite you to live into these questions with me. What kind of soil are we cultivating in our personal and corporate life that is encouraging growth in our faith in God? How have we allowed our biodiversity within community to become our enemy instead of our friend? How are we holding our faith in Jesus in a way that allows it to hold its form while also being shaped by what is growing around it? How have we bought into the definition of wealth in our culture that has depleted our ability to sustain the richness of life within community? How might we be a community of resources for those who do want to grow their own food, buy produce locally, or make other commitments to support local agricultural efforts and sustainability? On a local level, we live in a land that sounds much like the promised land, as mentioned in Deuteronomy. A land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, pears and apples and honey. A land where we lack nothing. We give you thanks, God, for the bounty which is right around us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear how we can sustain this bounty and share it with others. Amen. The song we will be singing together in your insert, When at Creation's Dawn, is a wonderful prayer, poetry set to music, that offers a prayer that both gives thanksgiving, provides confession, and challenge as we embark on this journey together. I invite the chamber singers to lead us in the song.